Most people know the story that Jesus told as one of the parables in Luke chapter 15. There were three of them there, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. And the story we know is the prodigal son. And as Jesus told the story, a certain man, had two sons. And the youngest came to his father and said, "Father, I'd like you to give me the portion of the goods that are due me. I don't want to wait till you die. I'd like to get them now." Because he was the youngest son, he was given a third of all that his father had. The firstborn son had the birthright, and that involved a double portion, so to speak. And since there were only two, the oldest son would get two-thirds, and the youngest son would get one-third. I've tried to tell my dad and my brothers that that's the way it still works today, but they haven't listened to me. But he got his inheritance, and the Bible says he went to a far country and wasted it all. He ended up in the hog pen feeding the pigs, which was a disgrace for a Jew. And the Bible says, as Jesus told the story, that he came to himself. He had a revelation from God that said, "You know, in my father's house, the servants have it better than I have it." He was hungry, and his clothes were tattered, and he was doing a job that was disgraceful to one of his nationality. And he says, "At home, the servants have plenty to eat. They don't have to dress in tattered clothes. They have shoes for their feet. And I could do something at home that would be far more respectful than what I'm doing here. I'm going to go home and tell my dad that I don't deserve to be his son any longer. I don't deserve to be his son, but I just want to be a servant. Just put me to work as a servant, and I'll have it better than I have it here." And so he goes home, and his dad is looking for him. Again, what a wonderful picture of God that looks for the prodigal, that looks for the one that has left home. And he doesn't make it all the way home. His dad runs out on the road to greet him. And as Jesus told the story, his father, when he got to where he was, embraced him, kissed him, called his servants and said, "Hey, bring one of the best robes that we have in the house and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet. Go ahead and kill the fatted calf, because we're gonna rejoice. We're gonna have a party. We're gonna celebrate, because this son of mine who was dead is alive. This son of mine who was lost is found." And so they killed the fatted calf. They invited all the neighbors, just like the shepherd did in the first story in Luke chapter 15, just like the lady did in the second story in Luke chapter 15. They all invited their friends to come and to rejoice and to celebrate them, because that which was lost is now found. The part that we read of the story, the second part, deals with the older brother. He's out in the field working. He comes in after a long day of work, and he hears the music and hears the dancing and begins to wonder what's going on. I mean, no, his father had not told him before he left for work that morning that they were going to have a party that night, that they were going to have friends in. And so he hears the music and he hears the dancing, and just natural curiosity, I wonder what has happened. And so he calls one of the servants and says, "Hey, what's going on? I hear the music. I hear the dancing. What are we celebrating?" And the servant tells him, "Well, your brother came home, and your father has received him, and he instructed us to kill the fatted calf, and we are rejoicing that your younger brother has come home." Well, as we read, the elder brother was angry. He wouldn't go into the house to join the celebration, so his father comes out and instructs him, encourages him, whatever you want to say, to come on into the house, to welcome his younger brother home, to join in the party. And the elder brother said, as we read, he said, "Father, I've served you many, many years. All the time my younger brother was in this far land wasting your inheritance, I was here, my nose to the grindstone, I was working, I was doing exactly what you told me to do. And all during that time, I have obeyed your commandments. I haven't transgressed one command, one desire that you've had toward me. I've been obedient in everything that you asked me to do. And yet all this time, you never gave me a kid, a goat, or an animal to kill and celebrate with my friends. And yet this my younger brother comes home who has wasted your resources. Hey, Darren, come on, bud. Sit up. Sit up in a chair. Look right at me. Okay, sit right down. All right. And he said, never in all these years, even though I've been obedient, even though I've stayed with my nose to the grindstone, even though I've been obedient, you've never given me anything to celebrate with my friends. And yet, here's one that has taken your resources, gone and wasted it in living that you do not approve of, wasted it in living that has disgraced our family. And yet you have killed the fatted calf and you are celebrating his return. And the father says to his older son, he says, you're right. You are ever with me. You've been a faithful son. You haven't left home and you have been obedient. And he says, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of something. Everything that I have is yours. Everything. Everything. It's yours. Now come on in and let's celebrate. It's right to do. Because he was dead and he was lost and is found. So come on in and join the celebration. You know, there's too many Christians that are like the older brother. I'm not talking about being angry. I'm not talking about being jealous. I'm not talking about having an unforgiving spirit. And by the way, we don't know how the story ended. I don't know what happened with the older brother. I sort of think that after his dad reminded him that everything that he had was his, the older brother went in and welcomed the younger brother home. He was obedient to his father from his own testimony as Jesus told the story. And I think after his dad talked to him, he said, Dad, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll come on in and I'll welcome brother home. But too many of us are like the older brother in that we have forgotten what's ours. We have forgotten that what God has and what he has given to us and that it's ours. The older brother took a look at one robe and one ring and one pair of shoes and one fatted calf, and he got jealous and he got angry. And it wasn't until Dad came out and said, "Hey, look, look, son, every robe in the house is yours. Every pair of shoes in the house is yours. Every ring in the jewelry box is yours. Every animal and every pen and every stall and every barnyard is yours. So don't worry about one robe, one ring, one pair of shoes, and one fatted calf. Because everything else is yours. And tonight I want to remind you that what God has is ours. We are one of his children. We are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And all that the Father has belongs to us. And tonight, I could spend hours and hours telling you what that involved. But I'm going to stick to the story tonight and remind you about four things that God has that because we are his children, because we belong to him, we have as well. They're ours. As the Father, he comes to us and says, hey, I've got all this stuff, and it is yours. And here's my point tonight. Don't live your life like the older brother. Don't live your life begrudging what you've done for God and think that he is not going to reward what you have done. I mean, we ought to serve him because we love him. We ought to serve him because of who he is. But there's going to come a day when the Father will say to us, like he did to this older son, hey, just look at everything I have. It's all yours. It's yours. And so tonight I want to remind you of four things that belong to each of us as a child of God. Number one is a robe. A robe. The father had one put on the wayward son, but said to the older brother, after he got jealous of that one robe, every closet in the house that has a robe in it is yours. Every robe that's in the house is yours. Every robe that I own is yours. And the father says the same thing to us. Every robe that I have is yours. I'll remind you tonight that I am a sinner by birth, and so are you. My dad and mom are good people, but they are sinners. And when two sinners have a baby, they have a sinner. Just like when two birds have a baby, they have a baby bird. Just like when two crickets have a baby, they have a baby cricket. Just like when two cows have a baby, they have a baby cow. When two sinners have a baby, they have a baby sinner. So I am by birth, I am by nature a sinner. There are times when, because of that nature, because I am a sinner, I want my own way. I know you have a hard time thinking about your preacher in this way. Some of you that I've been working with closely don't have any problem because you've seen that sometimes I get a little stubborn and I say, no, I want to do it this way. But there are times when my old nature comes out, and instead of wanting to do it somebody else's way, I will insist, no, I want to do it my way. Now, that's true of little babies. I mean, I've already seen it in Aaron, just 2 years old. Adam and I went out the other night, and Chantel was working, and we went to a restaurant, and they have one of these windowsills in the booth. And Aaron wanted to sit on that windowsill. And his dad did not want him to sit on that windowsill. And I will tell you, Aaron wanted his way. I mean, he almost poked his dad in an eye with a fork because Adam was making him sit down in the chair. I mean, little babies want their way. The same is true of adolescents, young children. They, at times, want their way. The same is true of teenagers. There are times when their nature is going to come out. And they're going to say, no, I don't care what mom and dad says. I don't really care what God says. I want to do it my way. And it's not just a malady of teenagers and children and little babies. It's a malady of every single person. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter that you're a reasonable adult. There are times that will come in your life where your old nature will come out and you'll say, no, I want it my way. And you'll insist on having it your way. And when we insist on having it our way, we become not only a sinner by nature, but we become a sinner by action. We put feet to our desires, and we have it our way, and that's called sin. Sin. Sin makes us dirty. Sin makes us filthy. Sin makes all the good stuff that I have in my life to God look like filthy rags. All of our righteousnesses, plural, in God's sight are as filthy rags. And we can try to reform ourselves. We can try, we can say, I'm never going to do that again. Never, ever going to do that again. You know, I've been trying to lose weight, and you've heard me say this before, but I try and try and try and try. So last night, I eat one of these dinners that only has 90 calories, and I'm feeling real good about myself. And then I discover there's a little, a pint of vanilla ice cream in the freezer. And I discover there's about 8 chocolate chip cookies in the cabinet. And so I proceed to take the 8 chocolate chip cookies and the little pint of ice cream and make myself 4 ice cream chocolate chip cookies. Man, were they good. And my 90 calories for dinner suddenly became 25,000 calories for dinner. And I have learned over and over and over and over again that I cannot reform myself. I cannot, with my own effort, be righteous before God. But you know what? I don't have to. Because the robe pictures the righteousness of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And oftentimes in the Bible, a robe is used to picture the qualification or the righteousness of a person before a master or before a God. You remember the story in Matthew chapter 22 of a certain king that made a marriage for his son. And he invited people to come, and they all had an excuse why they couldn't come. He said, "Well, go out into the highways and hedges and invite people to come in." And you read the story, as they came in, the servants gave each one a wedding robe, a wedding garment. And the master comes in to the reception, into the wedding room, and he sees a guest without a wedding garment. And he says, "Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he called the servants. He said, "Hey, take this guy, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. We will not be able to stay at the marriage of the Lamb without wearing a robe of righteousness paid for and given to us by Jesus Christ." And we need that robe of righteousness that God has for every single one of us, because we can't be good on our own. I mean, we have that old nature living in every single one of us that tempts us to sin. Now, we have the power to say no, because greater is he than it is us that is in the world. But I tell you what, we fall off the wagon. And we need to be dressed in the righteousness of Christ, with a robe that he has fashioned by Jesus Christ going to the cross, spilling his blood, dying for us. We sing the song, "When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." And so you have a robe tonight, given to you by God, paid for by Jesus Christ, that God has dressed you in, and you stand before him tonight with righteousness that is ascribed to you by Jesus Christ. So don't let Satan come to you and say, "You're not good enough to go to heaven. You're not good enough to be a child of God. You're not good enough to stand and say that you belong to God, that you're one of his children." Now, Satan's right. None of us are good enough on our own, but it's not our goodness that gives us the right to stand before God. It's the righteousness that we get from Jesus Christ that he dresses us in with that robe of righteousness. So when Satan comes to get you to doubt that you deserve to be saved, when Satan comes and tries to get you to doubt that you are saved, tell him to take a hike. Because you didn't do nothing to get saved. Jesus did everything. You took it. That's the only thing you had to do, is ask him to save you, and he did. And you're on your way to heaven because you're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I was talking to that young man this morning. He was telling me some things that were going on in his life. He says, I don't deserve the love of God. I told him, join the club. There's not a person here that does. None of us do. None of us deserve the love that God showed for us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. We were sinners. In no way did we deserve it, but he loved us in spite of our sin and made a way for us to have the righteousness that makes us right with him through his son, Jesus Christ. So you got a robe tonight. You're wearing a robe tonight, fashioned by God, paid for by Jesus Christ, that puts you in a right standing before him. The second thing you have tonight is a ring. You remember the father told the servants, "Hey, go get one of the rings and put it on his finger." And his older brother, when he saw that, got a little bit jealous. And dad said to the older brother, "Just a minute, that's just one ring. Every other ring in the house is yours. Every single one of them. Every jewelry box, every drawer where I got them stashed, every single one of them is yours." I remind you tonight that you have a ring. A ring represents authority. In the Bible, over and over, we see rings representing authority. Pharaoh gave one to Joseph when he made Joseph second in command in Egypt. You remember? When Joseph foretold the dream and gave Pharaoh advice about what to do for the famine that was coming, he said, and Joseph said, you need to find a wise man that during this 7 years of prosperity will gather up all the grain and save it so that when the 7 years of famine come, you'll have plenty to eat. And Pharaoh said, hey, can't find a wiser man than you. And he said, put a ring on his finger. I want everybody to know that I am appointing him to be my second in command. And he's going to carry out what he just told us to do with my authority. Go to the book of Esther. When Mordecai took over from Haman, when Haman was hanged, and Esther explained to the king what Mordecai was to her, her uncle that acted as a father. And the king put Mordecai in Haman's spot. He put a ring on his finger indicating that Mordecai had the authority of the king in the position that he held. When Daniel was cast into the lion's den, you remember the king came and he sealed, when they put a stone over the mouth of the den, he imprinted the seal, the wax that sealed the stone with his ring, saying, I have by my authority cast this man into the lion's den. You will be going against the king if you remove the stone and try to get him out. And so a ring over and over in the Bible represents authority that has been given by the one who has given the ring. And so the Father says to us tonight, I have a ring for you. And that ring represents my authority. You have the authority to represent me. You can go to people and you can tell them how to get right with me. You have the authority to go and share the gospel. You have the authority to go and share the plan and tell people how to get to heaven. You have the authority to go and lead people to a right relationship with God and get them for an eternity to get them to God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, the Bible says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In John chapter 20, then said Jesus to them, his disciples, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, Even so send I you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins he remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now listen to me. I have the authority of my Heavenly Father to be his representative, to be his ambassador to lost people in this earth. I have the authority from him to go and tell them how to be saved. I'm not ashamed of doing that. Because I have been appointed by God. And I have a ring, not a literal ring, but a figurative ring that I wear on my finger that tells me and reminds me and tells everybody else that I come in contact, this is a representative from the God of gods. This is a representative from Jehovah God. This is a representative from the God of heaven, the true God. And he has the authority to represent God in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you listen to me. If the president or some other high authority in government came to Shorty tonight and said, Shorty, I've got a task for you to do, and I am giving you my authority. You have my authority. When you act, you are acting in my behalf. And I want you to go out, and I want you to do this job in my name with my authority. Now, I'll tell you what. I know a little bit about Shorty. And he would go out and do that job and not be bashful about doing it. Because he has the authority from somebody high up in government. He hasn't taken this authority on himself. I mean, he didn't appoint himself to this job. He was appointed by somebody that had the authority to do it. And as he goes about the task, he does not do it bashfully. He does not do it ashamedly. He walks proudly, and he carries out that task that the authority has given him to do. Now, listen, we have the authority from God from God. He has given us the authority to go out and tell people how to get right with him. To given us the authority to go out and tell people how to be part of his family. Given us the authority to tell them how to get their sins forgiven. Given us the authority to tell them how to get to heaven. We should not be bashful. We should not be ashamed. We should go with head held high, eyes to eye contact and say, I do not represent myself. I am not here because I have appointed myself. I have been appointed by the God in heaven. I have been given his authority to tell you how to get right with him, to tell you how to get your sins forgiven, to tell you how to get to heaven. And we ought to do it because we represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of heaven. We have the authority. We have the authority. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do it half-heartedly. I don't. I mean, I know who I got my authority from. I know who I got my commission from. I don't want to do it half-heartedly. I want to give it everything I got, and so do you, because you have the authority from God. Don't forget that. Don't forget. So, we have a robe. We have a ring. We have shoes. The father said to the servants, hey, this son of mine is barefoot, tattered shoes. Go get a good pair of shoes, put on his feet. Again, the older brother saw that pair of shoes and said, Dad, this son's wasted your living. Why would you give him a pair of shoes? And Dad said, it's only one. Just one pair. Hey, every other pair in the house is yours. Every other one is yours. And so the father says to us, hey, I've got shoes that belong to you. Shoes represents the guidance of God. The guidance that he wants to give every single person. The guidance that he wants to give you. We don't have to worry about which path to take. We don't have to worry about which choice to make. The Father says, hey, all my guidance, all my wisdom is yours. In James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. I was thinking about that verse this afternoon. You know why some of us don't ask for wisdom from God? Because we don't think we need it. You know, rather than labor under that misconception, you ought to talk to your husband or your wife or your kids or your parents and say, hey, do you think I need the wisdom of God? You know what I think they'll tell you? Yeah, you need a lot of it, pal. Or you need a lot of it. We don't ask because we don't think we need it. Or we don't ask because we don't think God will give it. Don't you believe God? He said, if you'll ask, I'll give it to you liberally. Not just a little bit. I was eating lunch with somebody today, and I looked over at the next table, and the guy had ordered breakfast. And he was finishing up, and he had a piece of toast. You know these little jellies that come in the packet? He opened six of those and put on one piece of toast. And I was thinking about what I was preaching tonight, and I said to the person I was with, now, there's somebody that liberally applies jelly. Liberally. Not one pack, not two packs, not three, not four, not five, six. Two strawberry, two grape, and two apricot. That's how God will give us wisdom, liberally. Not just a little bit, not one pack, not two, not three. He'll give us wisdom liberally if we ask him. He says, hey, the shoes belong to you. I mean, all of them. I'll tell you what to do. I'll tell you what to choose. I'll help you as you make your decisions. We get guidance from the Word of God. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We get guidance from the Holy Spirit, John 16:13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. We get guidance as we get the mind of Christ. We get guidance from God. All that the Father has is ours. All the shoes, all the guidance. And then number four, the fatted calf. They killed one for the wayward son. He got a little jealous, got a little upset. Dad came out, hey, let me remind you something. You see that calf over there and that calf over there and that calf over there and that goat over there and that cow over there and that animal over there and all, just look at them. Look at them. In every pasture and every stall and every barnyard, just look at all of them. They're all yours. Every single one of them. And so the Father says to us, all things that I have are yours. You can enjoy them. The older brother said, geez, Dad, all this time I've worked, I've been obedient. You've never gave me a fatted calf. And his dad said, I don't have to give them to you. They're yours. Every single one of them are yours. You want a calf? You want to invite your friends over and have a party? Go ahead. They're all yours. And God says the same thing to us. He says, everything I have that will make your life more full, that will make your life more abundant, is yours. Just take them. They belong to you. All the love that I have is yours. God is love. He teaches us how to love. And all the love that God has is ours. We can love the same way God has because his love is ours. All the joy that he has is ours. It's ours for the taking. All the peace. I mean, the fruits of the Spirit, you can just go down the list. They're all ours. They belong to us. We can take them as we choose. Or we can live like the older brother and say, boy, God or Dad never gives me anything. Here's this wayward son comes home. He takes a robe and a ring and some shoes and kills the fatted calf. He hadn't given me nothing. Nothing. And the father has to come out and say, hey, just a minute, dummy. Didn't call him that. I'm adding that. Just a minute. Just a minute. Don't get mad at your brother. Don't get mad at me. Everything that I have is yours. It's been yours. You can take it and you can enjoy it. You want a fatted calf? Pick one out. They all belong to you. And God says to each of us, listen, everything that I have is yours. You want it? Take it. Why would you live without it? Why would you do without it? Why would you live your life and not draw on the things that belong to you? Because you're one of my children. He says, just take it. Take it. Because it belongs to you. And again, the Bible doesn't tell us what the older brother did. Did he stay outside and pout? Or did he go in? And again, I'll give you just my opinion. Because he was an obedient son, because he had served his father all those years and never transgressed, I think when his dad reminded him and said, hey, yeah, I know I've given him a robe, I've given him a ring, I've given him a pair of shoes, and I've given him a fatted calf, but I want you to remember all the rest of it belongs to you. Belongs to you. It was right that we welcome him home. Now come on in. And I think the older brother went in, gave his younger brother a hug, said, welcome home. Welcome home. Everything that God has is yours. Is yours. The robe of righteousness, the ring of authority, the shoes of guidance, and every other good thing that God has belongs to us. Belongs to us. Let's take it. Let's use it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray that we would realize what we have in Christ Jesus, that we would not live our life without tapping in to those things that you have paid for and given to us as your children. Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, they haven't put on that robe of righteousness, that tonight they would see their sin, they would see the penalty for that sin, and they would see the price that Jesus paid to make them right with you. And I pray they come in just a moment and we could help them ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speaks to our hearts and do something in our hearts and our minds tonight that needs to be done. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.